All right. As we bring our current study to a conclusion, which is on evangelistic praying from 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 8, I wanted to end with a video of testimonies and witnessing, and so that we can see that, because I think we learn a lot when we watch and observe. And then, of course, we have to take to the next step and do it. And it wouldn't be a bad idea, and I've done this before and been with groups that have done this when they taught evangelism, that they do some role-playing, you know, among everybody in the room. And you try to apply some of these things that you're learning. I mean, it's like anything, you know, you learn new things, or you learn things you've heard before and you're relearning them or continuing to hear them. But we have to, like I said, take it to the next step and practice it and to do it. And the only way that we're going to be, for lack of a better way of saying it, good at evangelizing is to just do it, right? And the only way you're going to get over any fear about doing it is just to do it. And just to open your mouth and start speaking. It's like one preacher said one time that he had five words for boldness: open your mouth and speak. And a lot of times that is really what it boils down to. It. And, you know, the amazing thing about it, we can get bold about a lot of things except the gospel. We can get bold about the weather. We can get bold about politics. We can get bold about what's going on in the family. We can say our, as we would say, our little two cents we can add to it. But what about when it comes to the gospel? Are we bold enough to open our mouth and just speak? And it's not like you're the one saving them. It's like what one person said, we are like waiters. The meal's already been prepared, which is the gospel. All we have to do is get it to the table. Don't tamper with it, which means don't add to it, don't take away from it. You know, you don't see a waiter carrying food going, takes it to the table, right? Now, they do that in the back. No. But the point is simply that, you know, God hasn't called us to save anybody. God has called us to open our mouth and speak the gospel. And you need to make sure that you understand the gospel, that you understand it clear enough to present it. It's a very simple message. We're sinners. Christ sent a Savior to die in our place because all sin deserves death. And whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, confesses Him as Lord, will be saved. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. Sounds simple. Simple enough that a little child can hear it and believe it. But in another aspect of it, it's really not simple. It's the foolishness of the cross that they mock at. You know, the simplicity of the gospel that's mocked at. You know what I mean? All I have to do is this. No, it's a lot more than that. It's a giving up of your life to follow Christ. And it's not just acknowledging acts of sin in your life. It's acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner. That's really where it boils down. And so we've used some Ray Comfort, Kirk Cameron videos in the past, and we're going to use some of their stuff today and just kind of hear some and see some witnessing things. And I've given you a gospel track. And Larry was so quick to say, I have some of these, which is good.
I do.
And these are good. You know, they can slide right in your pocket or right in your purse. And, you know, you've heard me use something I got from them to spark an interest. Did you get one of these? And immediately your mind goes, get one of what? No, I didn't get one. And you hand it to them. And I would do what they were doing. I'd hand it to them and say, it's a gospel track. Or, here's $1 million. Don't spend it all in one place. It's a gospel track. And like the one with Noah's Ark, I think I handed out, and it does. It has a gospel track. It talks about Noah's Ark, the Day of Judgment. It talks about Jesus, you know, being like the door to the Ark. And by the way, this is put out by, this is Ray Comfort's ministry, but that Ark on there is some of the drawings from Answers in Genesis, which, if you follow anything by them about the flood of Noah's in Noah's time, that it wasn't a barge and it wasn't a cute little boat with animals hanging out smiling and waving. You know, if it was one of those type of boats, the first amount of waves would tip it over. Now, this was something that could withstand all of that. And but they're going to talk about this in the video too, so that's why I wanted to hand it to you so you have it in your hands and as you're listening and as you're engaging in what you're hearing. So let's go ahead and start this. I'm going to see if I can at least point the camera in the vicinity of the screen.
If that's copyright in the late 50s, because of that?
Everything that you do in the service is copyrighted, meaning all the music that we sing, things like that. So we're hosting on Sermon Audio, not on Facebook now.
Oh, okay.
Facebook keeps getting kicked off, and I've had enough of getting kicked. You get kicked, you get ticked.
You don't want to kick us off Facebook.
So, right. Doesn't matter. It's usually YouTube that does it. So here it is. This is called Scared of Evangelizing. Great comfort for a camera.
See, there you are. Warning.
We're not mass producing anything.
Is there a reward?
Are you coming after
Central Station, the heartbeat of New York, where hundreds of thousands of people flow like blood through the veins of the subway system. And what's on my mind is, with the thousands of people who are here, do they know the Savior? These are people who are going home for the holidays, laughing, having a great time. If they die, where will they spend eternity? And we want to know, is there a way to get through to them, to break the ice and put the gospel into their hands, or start a conversation with them and get them thinking about eternity? Well, the answer is yes, there is a way, and that's what we want to show you in this episode. Only a certain amount of time. There's nothing more important than your eternal salvation. The multitudes and the valley of decision, death could seize upon them at any moment. And you and I have been given the gospel of salvation, the message of everlasting life. How are we going to reach them? Well, one way is through gospel tracts.
Whoa, wait a minute. Gospel tracts?
Oh, do you feel like I have felt? Have you ever felt that gospel tracts are just nothing more than annoying little pieces of paper that Christians pass out to litter the streets up with? You know, the ones that invite you to come to their church? All that Jesus junk. You remember the Elton John songs? Jesus freaks out in the streets, passing out tickets for God? I mean, how on earth is that ever going to help the cause of the gospel? Well, let me tell you a story. One night, my wife Chelsea and I went out to dinner. It was a romantic evening without the kids. It was wonderful. And the waitress was so sweet and kind. I knew she wasn't a Christian by some of the things that she had said, and I so wanted to share the gospel with her, because I knew if she died without Christ, she would spend eternity in hell. And I thought, well, now's not the time. She's at work. What are we going to do? And I thought, man, I would be willing to get out my napkin and just write down something that might cause her to go to her Bible or go to church and think seriously about eternity. Well, let me show you this. This is something that you can hand a waiter or a waitress or anybody, and it's designed to look exactly like a $1 million bill. Now, there's no such thing as a real $1 million bill. That's why people are surprised when you give it to them. But on the back, there is a message written around the edges that's designed to stir someone's curiosity about what happens when you die, and then go to the Bible and read the most important message they could ever hear. It may not be as good as sharing the gospel with someone, but it's better than nothing.
Thank you.
Paul said, by all means, save some. In those days, they didn't have the printing press. We do, so how can we not take advantage of the printed page? My own son-in-law was in a doctor's waiting room. He gave someone, a lady, a gospel tract. He went out in the parking lot. Sometime later, she followed him out and said, excuse me, why did you give me this? He said, well, I'm a Christian and I care about you. She said, this is weird. She said, my mother died just last night, and I think God is speaking to me through this. And he was able to share the gospel with her. And here's a tract with a difference. It says, a gift to you, money within, open and see. Most people are rather skeptical and say, yeah, you get nothing for nothing. But what you've done is you've gone to the bank and you've purchased brand new, clean, crisp $1 bills. And what you've done is you've taken a dollar bill and put it in the slot. When they open it up, it says, why give away money? There are four reasons. The first is as a small token of apology for the fact that so many have asked for money in the name of Christianity. Christians should be giving to the community, not taking from it. And the second reason is to ask you an important question. Do you consider yourself to be a good person? And it goes through the gospel. And what this does is it shows the person you're really sincere. I've had people stare at me as I walk off in the distance because they've seen that I put my money where my mouth is. Let me ask you something. Do you like optical illusions or sleight of hand like I do? Check this out. Which looks longer to you, the pink or the blue? Are you sure? Try again. Now the truth is, they're actually the exact same size. And if you flip them over, there's a gospel message on the back. Now I can't tell you how much people enjoy these. People take these and say, can I have a few more? I want to show them to my friend and to my family. And I'll say, yeah, you can have them. And then read the message on the back. It's really, really important. And it points them to the Bible and gets them thinking about eternal life.
Read the word in the fight. Out loud.
Read it to everybody?
Yeah.
Paris in the spring. Bird in the hand, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, you got three wrong. Do you want to try it again? Should I show you what you did?
Oh! Yeah, guys, I'm going to do it wrong. Retort.
Okay, read it out loud. What's the point of the slogan?
Paris in the spring. Oh! Never mind, dude.
Don't you feel silly? Do you want to try the other side? You can take a free one to your friend. Do this one out loud to see how you do. You want to try it?
Yeah. The words are so important. The word the and a are repeated. Here is another intelligence test. Answer yes or no out loud. One is very God.
What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Two. Okay, never mind.
You embarrassed?
No, negative. So I don't care.
Well, just finish it.
Read it off?
Yeah, I want to hear you too.
Does God care about right and wrong? Yes.
Good.
Are God's standards things ours? Yes. Will God punish sin? Yes. Is there a hell? Yes. Do you avoid hell by living a good life? No.
Okay, you go. 5 out of 6 right, which is good.
You're trying to tell me hell, so if I be good in life, I'm not going to hell?
No. This is what you missed out.
One. First one?
God's standard is the same as ours. The Bible says his way is perfect.
I don't know the Bible. I don't read it.
You don't? Well, let me give you a little quick test.
No.
Okay. I'll see if you're a good person.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
What does that make it?
Bad person?
No, a lie.
Oh, a liar. Not good.
Have you ever stolen something?
Negative. No.
No?
No.
You're not lying to me?
Negative.
No. Have you sought name in vain?
Yes, sir.
That's called blasphemy and very serious sin. Now, Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you commit adultery with her in your heart.
You're going to lie adultery in my life.
What's your name?
Adam.
Adam, by your own admission, you're a lying, blasphemous, adulterer, and you've got to face God on Judgment Day. So he judges you by the Ten Commandments on the day of
judgment. I'm going to hell.
Is that concerning?
No.
Why not?
So I've killed anybody and now I'm not in jail.
You ever hated somebody?
Yeah.
You committed murder in your heart. The Bible says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer.
You're going to tell me you don't hate nobody?
No. No, but I've broken those commandments, Adam. I was heading for hell. You know what God did so you wouldn't have to go to hell? He did something incredible for you. Do you know what he did? Any idea?
Can you go to heaven?
No, he did something for you.
Like what?
He sent Jesus to die on the cross to take the punishment for your sins. When he was on the cross, all of God's anger came upon him so you could go free.
Right.
It's like you broke God's law, he paid your fine.
So you're trying to say everybody's got to be perfect?
Yeah,
impossible.
That's why you need to.
I mean, I don't need nobody. I'm not hitting nobody right now.
Yeah, but that's why you need.
But certain people want to do something. Like some dude cannot beat you.
Yeah,
you're gonna hate that dude. You're like, all right. No.
No, I wouldn't hate him. Listen to this.
What's hatred? What's your idea of hatred?
Yeah, hang on. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to be concerned about your salvation. You don't
have to. I'm going to heaven. I'll be there.
No, all minds of the time will fight. You've got to repent and trust Jesus Christ. Jesus warned multitudes of Satan on the day of judgment. Lord, Lord, you have departed from you, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You must repent and trust him. Please think about it. Do you have a Bible? Please. Why don't you take time? Read the Gospel of John.
I'll
think about your salvation. Your time will run out. God, you're...
I'll tell you what. I'll go to church for Christmas.
Yeah, but that, you might not get Christmas. It stays away. 3,000 people, not far from here, made plans for tomorrow, and it never came. They died instantly. If you say 140,000 people, and you're not from hell if you die in your sins.
I can't tell myself right now if I make it to heaven or to hell. I don't have an hour and a half afterlife.
Yeah.
Are you going to heaven?
Of course. It's a gift of God. Did you hear what I said? God can forgive you if you repent.
So you're saying you're perfect?
Yeah, through Christ. That's what makes you perfect. You miss what I said. We broke God's law. Jesus paid our fine.
Right.
That means you can leave the courtroom on the day of judgment. God can let you live. At the moment, God's going to give you capital punishment. You're going to die because you've sinned against God, and you'll end up in hell. He's seeing the secret things. Secret sins. Everything you think, God sees. All the lust. Yeah, but you're going to stand before God. Everyone else has to answer themselves. You have to answer for your own sins, and you'll end up in hell. I don't want that to happen to you. Don't want your money, not saying you're in a church. Just consider your eternal salvation, because there's nothing more important. See what I'm saying? Gospel tracts can make the whole process so much easier. They open a door of conversation. Think of what a hinge does on a door. It's just a small device, and yet the whole door swings on that hinge. And that's what a gospel tract does. It's like a hinge. It opens the door of conversation to speak of things eternal. Do you use gospel tracts?
I sure do.
Why?
They're an easy icebreaker for people. They get them to think about the Lord Jesus Christ and just about their destiny in general.
They're effective. They're a way to give the gospel to somebody. You might have a conversation with someone, but they need to take what they heard with them. It's a way for them to do that so they can review it again later. And God uses gospel tracts in order to people's salvation. There's no question about it.
Do you use gospel tracts?
Yes, I do.
Why?
In some cases, I don't always have the opportunity to share the gospel right away. People are busy and they're moving quickly. But a gospel tract, I can give that to them. They can take it with them. And they can read it later.
It's just a great way to, if you don't have time to witness and say the entire gospel, then you can leave that message with them and ask them to read it later on if you started a conversation you can't finish.
I use them every time I'm on the song, yeah.
Why?
It's a good icebreaker, especially some of the tracks that you've produced are quite humorous, quite interesting for people. It's a good way to start a conversation with someone and then break into the spiritual aspects. Yeah, I use them all the time.
Do you use gospel tracks?
Absolutely, all the time.
Why?
Because I'm not very creative and it's a good way to start a conversation with people. And you need something to get over your fear. And too often we don't know how to lead it into a conversation with someone we don't know. A tract allows us to offer something, and the tract alone starts the conversation. Because the interest in what you're actually handing them, and then it poses the question, why are you giving this to me? What is it? You know, and that starts the conversation. It allows us to pass from the tract to the conversation, go from the natural to the spiritual. And before we know it, we're having a conversation about the things of God and eternity.
Well, maybe you're shy, like me, and you don't know what to say sometimes. Well, the gospel tract will speak for you.
Are you shy by nature, or are you bold? Does it scare you?
I'm pretty shy most of the time. So.
Do you get about tracts?
I can hand out tracts.
Are you bold by nature, or do you find that you're shy when it comes to witnessing? How do tracts help you?
I find that God is the one that can give me confidence, because I have fear of man, but yet God is more powerful. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And just, I don't have the boldness, but God gives it to me.
You know, I'm by nature kind of a shy person anyway. I don't usually go up to people and start a conversation. These do it for me, though.
Are you a bold person by nature, or are you shy?
No, I'm not a bold person by nature. I am shy.
Do you find it difficult to get out tracts?
Yeah, but I think God allows the fear because it causes us to pray, and it's just God provides the courage, and that we can overcome fear with His help.
Have you ever written a letter to somebody? Because what you want to say is so important, it's not the best way to get it across by talking on the phone or in person. Well, that's just what a gospel tract can be. The message of eternal life is so important, and people can read it when they're ready, when they have the time to really sit down and think about it. So use them as a conversation opener, or give them to somebody you care about.
Here we are at Rockefeller Center. There are thousands of people. What an incredible opportunity. I've got an idea. Why don't you go over, draw a crowd, and preach the gospel to them? You can do it. I know you can.
It takes more than I'm just trying to give away my money here. The next question, I'm asking trivia questions, and anybody who gets the right answer wins the money.
That's a little heavy. How about you go up to a stranger and say, excuse me, and witness to him, share your faith with him. Tell him how he can find everlasting life. Can you do that?
You guys believe in God?
Yes.
You don't believe in God? Can you consider yourself a good person? Yeah. You don't? How about you? A little bit?
How about you go up to a stranger and say, excuse me, and give him a gospel tract? Can you do that? No? Well, how about today or tomorrow you leave a gospel tract somewhere for someone to find? You can do that. I know you can do it. Please take advantage of the opportunities God gives you to tell this world about the everlasting life they can find in Jesus Christ. Another wonderful thing about a gospel tract is it presents what we would like to say without an argument, without getting cold feet. It presents the great truths of repentance, the love of God presented in Jesus Christ in a way the person can understand. Remember, the key is to use good tracts, not tracts like these. Here's one of my personal favorites.
It's just like the tape, but it's kind of
I feel like it's having an eye
exam. If you want your gospel tracts to work for you, make sure you're warm and friendly. Say to people, good morning, how are you doing? And if they answer, if they respond to you, they'll almost certainly take a track. And here's a question we've learned by experience does work almost every time. Just say, did you get one of these? That question has a twofold effect. One, it stirs up curiosity, and two, it makes the person feel as though they're missing out on something, which they are.
Who would like one of these?
I would love one of these. Thank you.
Anybody else want one? Just come and get it.
Do you ever feel like you're going to break into a sweat or pass out at the thought of passing out a tract or sharing your faith? Well, you're not alone. Every one of us battles fear. Did you know that a poll was taken and Americans were asked, what's your worst fear? Number one answer, public speaking. Number two, death. People would rather die than speak in public to strangers. Well, gospel tracts can help you to do that much easier. I mean, think about it. What's going to happen to a person if they die without Christ? Your sense of compassion can help you to swallow your fears and do what you know you ought to do anyway. Really, give hell some serious thought. And then identify what you're afraid of. I mean, what is it? Are you fearful of being rejected? What's somebody going to do, roll their eyes and reject you? That's not that big of a deal. The worst case scenario for the person that dies without Christ is much worse.
Let me ask you a question. Do you like roller coasters? Would you like to bungee jump? What is it we like about that? Well, we like the adrenaline rush. We like the fear. Now think about it for a moment. We're prepared to put our lives on the line for the love of fear, and yet we're prepared to let someone go to hell for the fear of giving out a gospel tract. And also think about this. Look around our nation. See if you can find piles of bloody stones where some Christian has been stoned to death, or where someone's been burned at the stake. They don't do that in this country. We have incredible liberty. And what we must do is take advantage of that liberty and preach the gospel while there's still time.
Hey, do you ever use gospel tracts?
All the time.
How often?
Every day.
And why?
It's an easy way to break the ice. It's harder just to talk to someone and just say, you know, and share your faith without handing them something first. And did you get one of these? And they ask, well, what is it? Well, it's a gospel tract. And then you just start talking about God and, you know, where they think they're going to go when they die. So it's a good icebreaker. And even if they don't want to talk to you, they can read it. So.
What's your favorite gospel tract?
I really like the coins. I like the coins because they look really cool. It's not just a piece of paper. People think the paper, you know, they might throw it away, but it's a coin. People don't want to throw away a coin. And it has all the Ten Commandments on it. So they'll read the commandments, and then the back has grace. And when you drop them, they make that noise, and they just look cool.
So what do you say when you hand someone one of those coins?
Well, I say, here's a souvenir coin, and they'll look at it and say, it's the Ten Commandments. You know, do you think you've kept them? And then we'll go through the commandments, the law, and then show them grace on the other side.
Are people ever offended when you give them tracts?
Not usually. Nothing like this. It's never offensive. No, they usually appreciate me taking the time to talk to them, especially teens. You know, they appreciate you caring enough about them to talk to them about their eternal destination.
As long as we have freedom of speech, we should take advantage of that to speak to people about eternal life. You'd be surprised at how effective a good gospel tract can be. One of my favorite preachers, George Whitfield, was given a tract, and he read that tract and realized that he must be born again.
George Whitfield was famous for preaching in the open air. He preached more than 18,000 sermons in his lifetime. After reading a gospel tract as a non-Christian, he said, "God showed me that I must be born again or be damned." He went on to pray, "Lord, if I am not a Christian, or if I am not a real one, for Jesus Christ's sake, show me what Christianity is, that I may not be damned at last." In his journal, he wrote, "From that moment did I know that I must become a new creature."
A student in Jacksonville, Florida, was given a gospel tract. He took it to his dorm, looked at it, threw it in the trash after crumbling it up. His dorm mate got it out, read the tract, got soundly saved, and now he's a pastor.
We also got an actual email from a friend who said he was in a Christian Bible study group and heard the testimony of a guy whose job was raking litter off of a local river. It was a really dull and boring job, and he often wondered what life was all about. One day he raked this soggy piece of paper off of the water, decided it was interesting enough to look at that he took it home with him. He put it in his pocket, and when he got in front of the heater at home, he put it down, dried it out, and then carefully unfolded it. He realized it was a gospel tract. He read it and was soundly saved that evening.
Have you seen anything positive happen through a gospel tract? Have you ever heard of someone getting saved, or is it just a matter of sowing in tears?
Actually, I have a personal testimony. Right after I got saved, I had a pastor lead me in a prayer, and I thought I was saved, and I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was standing in front of the JFK Museum there on the grassy knoll, and a guy came up to me and said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "What about other people in your group? Are they Christians?" And I said, "Not all of them." And he gave me some gospel tracts and said, "Could you hand them out to your group?" And I said, "Sure." And I took one of them myself and read it myself, and it talked about sin and judgment and righteousness and about repentance. And no one had ever explained that to me before, but this gospel tract communicated that to me. And I thought, wow, this is all the missing information that I didn't get. And it all came from a gospel tract and from a faithful fellow who just was handing out tracts on the street one day.
So are we saying that you have to use gospel tracts to reach the lost? Absolutely not. You don't have to. But if you're like me and sometimes battle fear in sharing your faith and you get nervous, you're not sure what to say, gospel tracts are a huge help. I mean, they open the door for a conversation, they make people laugh, and the truth is, if they're well-written tracts like we offer through our ministry, there is no downside. Non-Christians will even ask you for more.
We're on Grand Central Station. I saw all these people below us and decided I'd throw some million-dollar bill tracts over the side of the balcony. And notice how people are running around on a frenzy. This is million-dollar bills coming from the heavens. There's something magical, wonderfully magical about Grand Central Station just before Christmas. In fact, the whole of New York is just a wonderful place to be. Steam coming out of the grates of the streets, the Empire State Building with clouds around it, Rockefeller Center, ice skating rink. There was a wonderful atmosphere. And the music you're hearing isn't music we added to our footage. It was actually playing in the background in Grand Central Station. So the atmosphere was something wonderful. And notice, it's not just kids that are reaching out for these tracts. These are adults and even elderly people leaping around like kids. And in the middle of the screen, right there, is our cameraman, Ron Mee. Goofing off once again. He's always goofing off. He's actually a funny guy. Look at what he's trying to do is actually stir the crowd up to reach up for the tracks. And I hate this guy.
If you've never used one of our unique gospel tracks as a conversation starter or to just lead with someone, why not start today? We call them icebreakers, and you can get them at wayofthemaster.com. And if you give one to somebody, you'll be able to go to sleep that night praying a special prayer that God would use that to bring them to an understanding of what it takes to be saved. Remember, we only have a certain amount of time left. Treat each day as though it were your last, because one day it will be.